Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, Routes 11 and 15. It is the 21st century version of the General Store. One-stop shopping, boys and girls. Just relaxing now after talking with David Taylor. Tomorrow we'll go with a baseball day. We're going to have Chris Wheeler, one of the voices of the Phillies, with us tomorrow. Rob Beardtemple, who is the beat writer for the Pirates. He'll join us from Seattle. Thursday we go to Patrick Chambers. Talk about all the changes with Penn State basketball. A lot of personnel changes. I had told Kevin back in, the middle of March, I told you there was going to be that Ackerman, Okosa, and John Graham were all going to be leaving.
Yes.
It took a while, but in the end, it appears that Ackerman, Okosa, and John Graham have left. And, of course, Jermaine Marshall was the surprise. Do not expect Marshall back. Even though they have one opening. But plenty to talk about with Pat. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, who personally did the surgery on Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, just good first-hand experience, then. First-hand knowledge.
Just kidding.
Well, we talked about it last hour. You alluded to it last hour. I said we were talking about the Patriots, and the Patriots are going to have some struggles here coming up this year. I mean, there's not a whole lot of receivers for Tom Brady to throw to. And if you're a Patriots fan, I'm sorry, that has to be a concern, especially with one tight end that may be not available this year or late in the year, and the other tight end maybe not available at all, the way things sound.
Right.
Although it is way too early to make a decision, but it doesn't sound good legally. Now, Welker's gone.
Have Danny Amendola, they're good.
Yeah, but I don't know. He seemed to be kind of along the Wes Welker line when it comes to big play capability, you know, a go-to receiver, but then hurt.
Right.
Then the go-to receiver again, and then hurt.
Mm-hmm. He is that. You, of course, taking far too much delight in the prevails of the Patriots.
I kind of mixed about it because, you know, I am happy
you
to see the Patriots.
Mixed.
No. I am very, very mixed emotions about it. I have very mixed emotions about it because I don't like seeing the Patriots succeed, but Tom Brady's my fantasy quarterback.
Oh, we're back to that. Oh.
I love doing that to you.
I think fantasy football or fantasy baseball or fantasy NASCAR or whatever has done wonders for people's interest in the game. Right? It's done wonders for them. I have been asked repeatedly to join fantasy leagues.
No, I can believe that.
And I have repeatedly said what?
You should. I know you say no, but you should. With the knowledge that you have, you'd be deadly.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to go out there and say, for example, I have Tom Brady on my fantasy team, and the team I grew up liking happened to be the New York Giants. Now, I'm not going to root for Tom Brady against the Giants. Why do I want that? I mean, you want Tom Brady to go out and throw five touchdown passes against the Steelers because that means you're in first place in your fantasy league?
As long as the Steelers win, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if it's 42-41 Pittsburgh?
If he's throwing five touchdown passes, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, you are not winning the game.
That may be the case. Depends on who's a quarterback for Pittsburgh, but that's a whole different
issue.
You're
not winning the game if he throws five touchdown passes.
But at least if my team's going to lose, I'm not going to be as distraught about it because at least I got, you know, I have a silver lining.
But that's not, okay. Again, how much credit can I give the fantasy leagues for interest, okay?
I understand.
So that part I get. I don't get the part where you root against your team.
Now, we've talked about this before. You don't root against your team.
Yeah, you do.
You just look at
what?
It that way.
Well, excuse me, exactly how is Brady going to achieve numbers against the Steelers?
But okay? He doesn't have to have a five-touchdown day to make me happy. If he throws two touchdown passes, I'm content.
But if he is having a big day, which numerically you need, in all likelihood, the Patriots are having a big day.
But see, that's the difference. And now we're getting into this a little deeper than I'd originally wanted. But that's the difference between playing a head-to-head league and a total points league. Because a head-to-head league, you have to have those big days. Total points league, when they play my team, for instance, if Brady has a couple of touchdown passes, I'm content. Then next week he can go and have five touchdown passes and score 42, 43 points all by himself.
I'm in pain.
I realize five touchdown passes, by the way, does not add up to 42, but...
Yes, I understand.
I was making a point.
But when you look at the Patriots, okay, what do they have? All right. Number one, they have acquired LeGarrette Blount and picked him up from Tampa Bay. That adds a lot to the running game. They picked up Leon Washington from Seattle. Now their return game is dramatically different. When it comes to receivers, you're absolutely right. They have some issues. They have two really dependable guys in Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman. I mean, dependable. They are not game breakers. But they also picked up Michael Jenkins from Ohio State as well. And I think he's an interesting guy in what they want to do with their offense. He can stretch the field a bit and was an interesting under-the-radar pickup by New England. So, I mean, those are the guys that they're going to look at. And, of course, when it comes to tight ends, Gronkowski is hurt. Hernandez has trouble. But they did pick up Michael Humanuwi, who had been out of Illinois. I always liked, was with the Jets for a period of time, always liked him. And then they drafted Zach Sudfeld out of Nevada. Now, are these Gronkowski and Hernandez? No. But Humanuwi is somebody that is actually battle-tested in the NFL, is going into his fourth year. Bigger concern, I think, for them is that their offensive line isn't quite what it was during the glory days. Now, defensively, they've improved themselves. They also, because of the division, have a softer schedule than some teams.
Did they improve themselves at quarterback? That's a joke. That's a joke. Don't you find it interesting, though, that Belichick says, oh, no, I didn't say I hate Tebow, and then a couple of days later, all of a sudden, by the way, guess who's on the team?
It's the pros. Okay?
No. I didn't say I hated Tebow.
Suddenly, Rob Woodson's not a Steeler. He's a Raven. It's the pros. It's the way it is. It's always the way it's been. Guys change teams, and suddenly, Brian Dawkins is no longer an Eagle. He's a Bronco. John Lynch isn't a Buck. He's a Bronco. Peyton Manning is a Bronco from the Colts.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're a New England Patriots fan, all right, let's just say Tebow's going to be the number two. Let's say he's going to be the number two quarterback.
No, Ryan Mallett's the number two quarterback.
Okay, but I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Hypothetically what? Ryan Mallett's the number two quarterback. Okay, there's no hypothetical.
He's the number three quarterback.
He is the number three quarterback. Because Ryan Mallett, there are a lot of people that tried to trade to get him away from the Patriots because they think that he is one of those next-level guys. And that he can be in the Matt Ryan range.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask you. If you're a Patriots fan and Tom Brady goes down, who do you feel comfortable with coming in to win the game?
Ryan Mallett.
Okay.
Or not even close. Look, Tim Tebow has received more press for being a middle-of-the-road professional football player than anybody I've ever seen.
Agreed.
He is a middle-of-the-road professional football player.
Yes. I totally agree with that. And I think having him at a two or three spot as a quarterback on a team isn't the worst thing in the world.
But if he bulks up, he could be a tight end for them. Or an H-back.
Can you make that change at this part of his career in the NFL? Now, I realize he's only, 25? But is that something that a player can make in the NFL, a change of position like that, and be successful?
Michael Robinson's been a Pro Bowl guy at fullback.
But he did it. He came out of college and became that. He didn't play a whole lot of quarterback before then, did he? Besides college. In the NFL.
Played no quarterback in the NFL.
Right. They put him right in. That was kind of the intent there, right? Am I wrong with that?
Well, he wanted to be a quarterback, but they made him a fullback.
And he's been successful.
And Mike and I have talked on the phone about this. Mike said, look, I can still play quarterback. And I said, keep cashing those fullback checks.
Keep cashing the fullback checks. I'm just wondering if Tim Tebow, at the point of being a quarterback in the NFL now, is he able to make that change to a different position in the offense successfully?
I don't know because it's not that easy.
And that's the point.
I don't know, but it's not that easy. But he's the third quarterback. There's no hypothetical. Ryan Mallett is the second team quarterback on this team. If Tom Brady were to get hurt, Ryan Mallett would be the quarterback. And I'm talking like there's no debate. That's why it's a better situation for Tebow.
Because the expectations aren't there?
There are none. And he knows his place going in. He's third.
Right.
He's not competing for anything. He's not going to supplant Brady. I can tell you right now, he's not going to supplant Mallett. Mallett's a pro style, 6'5". Decent footwork, good arm. I saw him do that against Penn State when he was at Michigan. Then he transferred to Arkansas when Rich Rodriguez took over. Mallett would have stayed at Michigan and thrived at Michigan had Brady Hoke been the head coach. Hoke is going to be interesting moving forward at Michigan because he's really been trying to fit a square peg into a round hole with Denard Robinson for 2 years because that's not really his offense. It's interesting how they've transitioned back. Because when Mallett was at Michigan, and he had to step in for a couple games, including the Penn State start, which is his first career start, you can just tell he's got really good poise, a big arm. His footwork is not as bad as people realize it is. It's Some people think he has bad footwork because he's so big. It's not that bad. Then, of course, he transferred to Arkansas and did well. Yeah. But Tebow gets more press for being mediocre than anybody I have ever seen in the NFL. I mean, ever, in any sport. In any sport. He was a great college player. He was a great college quarterback. He has been a mediocre pro. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been great either. He's been middle of the road.
Sometimes as a backup quarterback, that's what I'd read. That's what I'd be happy with. I mean, in salary cap, in the salary cap era, from looking at this as a fan now, having somebody come in the game that you're comfortable with, that you know has a track record of being able to win, that's a nice luxury to have.
Who's that?
No, I'm saying any NFL team would like to have that kind of luxury. That's why I think you see some of these quarterbacks stay around as long as they have that were mediocre starters.
Well, veteran guys.
Yes.
Well, no, I mean veteran guys. Yes. I mean Tebow doesn't fit that bill. He doesn't fit what you're talking about.
No, I mean he's proven that he can win. Now has he really?
Has he really? I mean, really? When they beat the Chicago Bears and won 10-7, and Prater kicked a 59-yard field goal. That showing as a quarterback you can win?
Well, somebody had to get him in position to even come close to kicking that.
Okay, you know how far you have to get to kick a 59-yard field goal?
How far do you have to get?
The 42-yard line.
Okay. You know, and he's also shown that he can have three bad quarters, have a really good fourth quarter, and come back and win the game. There's something to be said about that. I think that gets lost in the Tebow discussion. Now, are his numbers outstanding? Absolutely not. Is he a mediocre quarterback? Yes. Does he bring something to the table that I think gets overlooked a lot? Is there an intangible there? I think there is. I think there's an intangible there that gets overlooked because of his stats or technique or whatever.
I can tell you right now, the New England Patriots rescued his career. There was nobody else in the NFL that was going to sign him.
I'm not arguing that fact at all.
Okay? It was the CFL or the Patriots.
I am 100% agreement with you.
He made a great choice in going with the Patriots because if anybody can handle the circus, they handle the circus. That goes with him. It's not his fault there's a circus. It's not his fault. And I feel like I have wasted a half hour of my life here talking about, I mean, about, I don't know, there are 53 guys on every team, okay? Uh-huh. Which means there are 1,600 players in the NFL.
Right.
Okay, there are probably 900 players better than Tim Tebow.
I can't, statistically, you're probably right.
I mean, 900, what I mean better, 900 players that make more significant contributions than Tim Tebow does. Now, maybe not to society and maybe not to groups that adore him, because there are groups of people that adore him. There are people that respect the fact that he puts himself out there. They respect the fact that he just seems like a great, great guy, and they respect the fact that he is not afraid to discuss religion. I also think he can be a very good runner at the NFL level because he has a great sense and judgment to blocking schemes and openings from his experience at Florida, but he absolutely does not throw the ball with any semblance of NFL accuracy.
I do admit I have heard the discussion about tight end, and considering the most recent circumstances with Patriots tight ends, or the Patriots tight end that remains still playable on day one, they may need a tight end.
I'm sure they can get one off the waiver wire. And he's a possibility as well. But we're talking about a guy who is the third best quarterback on his team, not the league, his team. We're talking about somebody, if you were to play tight end, that at this moment would be the sixth best tight end on his team. This is on his team, not the league. We're also talking about a guy that if they were to play him at tailback, they would be five guys in front of him there that are better. I think, you know, he has worked very, very hard to work on his deficiencies. He went out to Arizona and he worked with a passing guru for weeks on how to, you know, make better judgment, how to go out and be more accurate when he throws the football. He then went from Arizona to Florida and he worked with Chris Wenke, the former Florida State Heisman Trophy winner. And Wenke did extensive work with Tebow on footwork. So Tebow has tried to take his offseason and has tried to make himself a better player as a quarterback, working on accuracy with a guru, working on footwork with a guru, and now trying to translate. He is still the third best quarterback of his team. Now, on the list of quarterbacks in the league, there are so many others that are worthy of us spending a half hour on than him. And I'm not saying that to be mean or put it down. I'm talking about actual facts here. I mean, that would be the equivalent of me sitting here and let's spend a half hour talking about Austin Whipple and DJ Crook.
You're right. There's not too many third-string quarterbacks that get the discussion, get the talk that he does.
I mean, Austin Whipple and DJ Crook for Penn State, who are the third and fourth quarterbacks, bust their backside and work hard all the time, just like Shane McGregor did. And I never spent a half hour on Shane McGregor. I mean, Shane McGregor needed more arm strength, but he knew the playbook like the back of his hand. Academically was a whiz. Wrote this brilliant paper on Joe Paterno. Was a part of Thon, where he danced in it. Was a part of the homecoming court. And everything that goes with it. He was the 13th quarterback. We never spent a half hour on him. Tim Tebow has had more wasted words on him on talk shows in the past year, to the point where it's remarkable where you have to face facts. I'm not putting him down because, look, he's far more talented than any of us are. And he's handled his fame extremely well. But as a football player at the National Football League level, he's a non-contributor right now. He's good enough to be in the league. He's not good enough yet to be significant.
Tim Tebow time coming up on 4:30.
Be going to a bridge to jump time.
The only way this will happen is to, number one, lower all selling prices. Number two, increase all trade valuations. Number three, give you the lowest interest rate you deserve. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2013 Kia Soul starting at $14,824. With interest rates starting at 1.9%. Built in the USA, 2013 Optimus are discounted up to $5,000. With selling prices starting at $19,998 and 0% financing available for 60 months. Remember, every new Kia
Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. Motor Trend's number one-rated full-size sedan, the 2014 Kia Cadenza, is in stock, ready to bathe you in luxury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Kia's a rental and certain optimal GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts. Must qualify for special incentives. And KMF bonus cash to be applied. Not everyone qualifies for low financing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
During the break, Kevin tried to trade all the Phillies.
Not quite all of them. There's a couple I wouldn't mind keeping.
Who?
Well, I think Rollins is on the block.
He's got to go.
I think Utley's on the block.
Gotta go.
I think Papelbon's on the block.
And I think there might be as good as out of there.
And I think there might be a quality starter that is going to be available on the for someone if they're willing to make the jump. Now, who do you keep? Keep the young man playing in the outfield. And the only one playing in the outfield, the way it seems.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's been playing great. You're just all mad that he's not going to start in the All-Star game, the exhibition game.
I'm sorry. He deserves to be in the game, at least. Maybe not a starter,
but
he deserves to be in the game.
That's why you have Bruce Bochy. He'll pick guys.
Yeah.
You have to pick one from every team. It's between him and Cliff Lee. All right? Everybody has to be represented. It's between him and Cliff Lee, if not both. Okay, who else are the Phillies are going to will get picked?
I really, it would be tough to come up with another one.
Cliff Lee or Dominic Brown, and they probably both will make it. All right, so just calm down. It's an exhibition game.
No, I agree. I'm actually more concerned about the issues revolving around the team in general right now, which is why I'm looking forward to your discussion with Wheels.
That'll be tomorrow. Rob Beer Temple on the Pirates tomorrow. Two completely different stories being told within an hour. I don't know how the Pirates are doing it. Most teams you'll see that have had great years, and I made this point last year when Chad Durbin and Chad Qualls and whatever. Most teams that you will find that have great success get career years out of the middle relief guys. When the Phillies won it in 08, they had career years out of a lot of guys. And that's what you'll find. You'll get career years out of guys. The teams that don't succeed, they've all reverted back to the form that allowed them to get to the major leagues but not thrive in the major leagues. You know, thus that's made them a journeyman along the way. Somebody who cannot be described as a journeyman but is a steady influence on this show, Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hello?
Hello, Dave. Hi, Dave.
How you guys doing?
Dave, it's Party Central.
Okay.
Every day is an adventure.
Well,
we just spent a half hour talking about J.B. Coleman.
Yeah, well.
If we're going to talk about the third string quarterback for the Patriots, let's talk about the third string quarterback for the Packers, too.
Well, I got something for him at the end of my conversation. But first thing is, I enjoyed your talk with Dave Taylor.
Yep, he's very enjoyable to talk to, very much.
But, you know, as far as Kevin Herr, I seen something yesterday. I was watching it for about 2 hours on the NFL channel. What they did was they put a team, you know, football players together playing softball.
Mm-hmm.
They inserted probes into the softball and also tackling dummies that were marked for the bases and blindfolded not only the fielders but the hitters.
Well, that sounds entertaining.
I was watching it like, what is this, like a Kevin Herr deal?
We should do that for the All-Star game. Then I'm going to watch.
Wow. What's next? A gruesome, a group of housewives in New Jersey taking us into their lives?
I was like, what the world is this mess?
They'll put anything on now.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous. Holy cow. I always thought of Kevin when I seen that.
I mean, what's next? A guy walking over a rope over the Grand Canyon? I mean,
oh, wait, they already did that.
13 million people watched that.
It's ridiculous.
I missed it. I was a little disappointed. I forgot about it.
Yeah, well, he had his children and his grandchildren there. You know what I thought? If that guy falls, that's real nice. Take your family there. What's that?
Yeah, but the dude made it. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is, any slight slips and without guide, you know, without a net and guide wires and stuff.
Well,
you fall that far, you're splat anyway.
I've seen more dangerous things. I've been in Kevin's golf group.
Yeah. Six hole or.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know what's more difficult, walking over the Grand Canyon on a 2-inch rope wire or hitting the railing on the bridge at the sixth hole at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
Well, I was, you know, got my, just changing a quick subject, but ESPN, I sent for these magazines and they threw this one in. You know, when you order certain magazines, and then they throw, well, we got this and this and this, and just whatever. Well, I got received one about these young kids that are now receiving scholarship offers that are 12, 13, 14-year-old kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that one, it's, trying to remember the kid's name.
Didn't Alabama reportedly do that or discuss that?
Yes.
No, this kid at Dylan Moses, Edwin Moses' son.
Yeah.
He's 15.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker, 6'1", 215, and runs a 4'4", 640. And I read some of his stuff. Well, he has Alabama, LSU, Texas offers. I said, you know, that's ridiculous.
But you know what I find interesting? Okay. I find interesting when the NFL Combine comes up and we watch them run 40s, and suddenly all those guys were 4'3", 4'4", out of high school.
Yeah, 4'7".
Suddenly don't run 4'3", 4'4".
No, now they're 4'7",
over
right?
And over and over again. Okay?
Yeah.
One time I said to a guy that does a lot of recruiting, has a recruiting service, I said, what's the difference between the 11th-ranked tight end and the 12th? And he looked at me like, I said, what's the difference between the 11th-ranked tight end and the 12th? Why is he 11 and why is he 12? And they don't know. And then I asked, I said, how much money do you spend traveling all over the country to see these people in person? I don't see them in person. I said, then I don't want to read your service.
Right. If you're not going to check them out in person, then fool you with you. Well,
so,
I like the one phrase that Joe Paterno did and now Bill O'Brien has. He says, I could care less about what their speeds are and stuff. I recruit who I want to recruit. Who cares what the service says?
Well, I think,
And they're going to come up with better ball players anyway.
Right. Well, I'm big on the eyeball test. I always have been. I mean, you could put a watch on some guys and so forth. I want to know if they're a football player or if they're an athlete. That's why one of the things that Joe did a lot when he was recruiting, he'd go out and see them play basketball. When he recruited Kurt Warner, it was after he saw him play basketball, saw his footwork, saw his athleticism, and said, you know what? I already saw the tape of him being a football player. Now I can see, you know, there's much more to him. And Joe always did that.
Yeah, it was like that linebacker, Shane Conlon, that he's seen him playing basketball.
Yeah. Well, Tommy Bradley worked on that one. Tom Bradley was the one that got on top of that.
But just saying, is you go watch people, you know, with other sports and see how, you know, far as dexterity and everything else, you know, how you put it all together.
Sure.
It beats it.
No, and I agree with you. I agree with you completely.
I said, you know, what they said about, you know, I was swimming through the NFL channels, the rating those. I said, Ron, my one brother, he's like Kevin Herr. You know, because when somebody says, well, this team rates, you know, right, so much ahead of the Steeler guy or whatever, I says, Ronnie, it comes down to one thing. And you know what that is? He said, what? Personal opinion.
Right.
That's all it is.
Well, we just spent half hour talking about the Patriots' third-string quarterback because he wanted to. So I don't know. I felt like a hostage.
Well, maybe he was going to get around to the tight end.
Well, we kind of slipped that in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Well, Dave, we need to get to the Kevin Herr rant of the day. The audience is anxiously awaiting it.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? This really isn't really officially the rant like you would normally expect. I'm going to actually defend Ruben Amaro. Are you sitting down for this?
I always am.
All right. When the Phillies won 102 games, they had Ibanez, Pence, Victorino, Polanco. That's your third base outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Three home runs, 13 RBIs for every 100 at-bats. Brown, Young, Mayberry Jr., Revere, and Young. Three home runs, 11 RBIs every 100 at-bats. So one of the things that I, along with a lot of other, I think, Philly fans have questioned is the outfield situation and the change at third base. Well, it doesn't appear as though that's much different when the Phillies were succeeding. Now, where the problem lies is pretty much on that stretch of rubber. In 2011, the Phillies pitchers, Blanton, Halliday, Hamels, Kendrick, Lee, Oswald, and Worley, pitched 2.88 as their earned run average. Now, before last night, Lee, Hamels, Kendrick, Halliday, Lannon, Cloyd, Pettibone are at a 4.08 ERA.
Okay.
That ERA difference is part of the problem with the bullpen. It's also part of the problem that you can't overcome a quote-unquote lack of offense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my only question is, how do you fix it? And is it fixable before the end of this season or before the end of July when the Phillies put out a for sale sign on their entire inventory of players?
I would say as of today, these would be the guys that would be movable parts. Lee, Papelbon, possibly Kendrick, Michael Young. There are a lot of American League teams that would love to have him as their DH. Rollins. There may be some interest in Nutley.
As a fan, the only one that would bother me would be Utley.
What has he done for you? His production has gone down every year since You look at his numbers, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. His numbers are worse each year.
No, and it's not.
And I've been a big Chase Utley guy
and
the entire time. So I'm not. All I'm doing is pointing out, I'm just making a point of fact in the debate.
My reasoning has nothing to do with the statistics or numbers. The fact is, here's one of the few players in Major League Baseball that I've been lucky enough to watch play and follow through the minors, through Philadelphia, and have been with the same team in that 11-year span in the majors. It would be very difficult as a fan to see him not in a Phillies uniform.
Also, I'm going to dangle this one out. Carlos Ruiz.
Oh, man, there's another guy that's just a likable player.
Oh, no, I think he's a great player. I'm just talking about value here. And the reason I'm talking about these guys is that you can look at Cesar Hernandez at second, Freddie Galvis at short, Tommy Joseph catching.
But, I mean, Phillies fans have such an emotional attachment to guys like Ruiz and Utley that a trade there would be, can you imagine the backlash of something like that, even if it's the right thing to do?
All right. I'll do this quickly.
Okay.
Well, no, we have a break.
No, I know.
That's why I said that. 2004, 2007, the Red Sox won the World Series each year.
Right.
Okay. All right. The change in personnel was somewhat dramatic for them. Youkilis at first in 7, it was Kevin Millar in 4. It was Bellhorn in 4, Pedroia in 7. Cabrera, Lugo. Okay. Third base was Bill Miller. Then it became Mike Lowell. Ramirez was still the left fielder. Okay. Ellsbury became the center fielder. Okay. Trot, Nixon out. JD Drew in. Veritek was still the catcher. No Pedro Martinez, whom the Red Sox fans had a tremendous attachment to. It was Josh Beckett. Schilling was still the other starter. No Derek Lowe, whom the Red Sox fans were very attached to. That was Daisuke Matsuzaka. They overspent for and, you know, whatever. Okay? And then Tim Wakefield was there for both. John Lester, though, was the fourth starter. Not Keith Folk as the closer, but Jonathan Papelbon. Now, in a four-season span, they won twice. Look how much they changed the team and how many likable personalities they got rid of. The fans were incredibly attached to Pedro Martinez. He wanted a four-year deal. The Red Sox offered 3. Derek Lowe, deeply attached to the ball club. Red Sox didn't offer him. Just didn't do it. Trot Nixon was part of the fabric of that team. First-round draft pick, the whole thing, but then they signed J.D. Drew. Now, Ortiz was the DH on both as well. But you see, my point is that the really good franchises are the ones that have the ability to look at a player, and in the cold, hard world of professional sports, make a decision as to when it's time to move on to somebody else that might be better over the next 3 years than the player that they're leaving despite the emotional attachment. I mean, from Johnny Damon to Jacoby Ellsbury. See my point?
I do. No, I get it.
That's what makes winning organizations over a longer period of time. They do pick out a core group, but they also have to make critical decisions as to when to move on from somebody. We've mentioned the Patriots before. Patriots have had long-term success because they have cut bait with people and brought other people in. And they've worked it under the cap. The Chicago Blackhawks won last night. They have a lot of decisions to make. Taves and Kane will be back. Who else? We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Boy, being a fan is awfully tough for you.
It's not easy being a fan. It really isn't. I mean, you really have to make choices. Tough choices.
Well, I'll tell you, running a team, you have to make a lot of choices. And with today's numbers, in terms of what you have to do with the cap, luxury taxes, or whatever, you have to be able to construct a roster that makes economic sense as well as baseball sense.
Very true.
And there really is no team that is superior right now that's a runaway, God, that's the best team in baseball. You don't have that. The Yankees aren't like that anymore. The Red Sox aren't like that anymore. The Phillies aren't like that anymore. Just the way it is.